Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Burnley got a lovely win and the champions couldn't beat Fulham. It's Monday, 14th of December. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete the Giant.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Hi, everybody. What a marvellous Monday we've got for you on the Football Ramble. Pete the Giant is here.
Hello.
And Jim is also here.
I am here. Just normal size today.
Normal size.
But he's still going to try and body slam me.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania 2.
Oh, dearie me. Lads, what a weekend.
What a weekend.
None of the big boys other than Leicester City won.
Yeah.
That's not the narrative. None of the big boys won. You can't have a caveat in a tedious little weekend experience,
well,
I would say.
How are you defining big boys? You're probably thinking, you know, people who have won the Premier League recently.
Football giants.
Marcus, would you? Who of the teams that played at the weekend would you say are most on the verge?
I think on the verge.
Well, you've got to put Southampton in there.
Yeah.
And you've got to put Leicester City in there. Other than that, I think it's pretty open. Don't you, Jimbo? Don't you?
The verge is fairly quiet.
I think it's an absolutely magnificent Premier League. I mean, this is ridiculous. There's only like 1 point separates first and 20th or something like that at the moment. Mm. It's utterly glorious. Imagine how angry Luke will be if Southampton win the league.
Yeah. Or even just get most of the games second.
Champions League.
European spot.
And then next season we'd have to call them the big boy.
Yeah, we would. We would have
big boys.
But as off the top of my head, I think Portsmouth are the only side, South Coast side, to have won the top flight in England. Forgive me, Southampton fans. I think that's right. Southampton, of course, won the FA Cup famously. Mm.
Did a bit more work back in the day.
Oh, he was industrious in the 70s, wasn't he? Like most of the country, really. So there we are. So marvellous stuff. But we're not going to start with any of the big boys, Jim.
Big boys.
No big boys will be mentioned when we talk about Arsenal 0, Burnley 1.
We're going to saunter down the road to the Emirates, which is probably a 10-minute walk from here, if that, knock on the door and go, "What are you doing?"
What door would you choose?
The back entrance.
The back entrance.
Because I know where it is, because sometimes I've done some work there.
Jim.
What? Over to you, Pete Donaldson.
Maybe open an OnlyFans, mate.
In
this climate, Jim, it's dangerous. Sorry, mate.
You mentioned some entrance. I've done some business at the back door.
Wow.
It's all above board.
I bet it is, Jim.
All above board.
Get your invoices in. But anyway, talking of the 1970s, Arsenal's worst start since 74-75. It's unbelievable, Jim. Arteta said, "I am clear in my mind what needs to improve. I don't know how to put the ball into the net." Is that an actual quote? Did he actually say that?
He didn't know whether to put the ball in the back of the net or how to.
It's a great win for Burnley, but Arsenal, like, fourth home game on the trot, which they've lost, which is another damning stat, of course.
Been a long, long time since they've done that. It's really, really poor at the moment. And I think, obviously, the place to start is with Xhaka's red card.
The advert's good, though, isn't it, Jim?
Which advert?
The advert with, like, the Adidas Originals advert.
Yeah, yeah.
They made Ian Wright young. They probably could do with him.
Yeah.
Young, to be honest. Can we unfuse Ian Wright's ankle, please?
I might take a filtered Ian Wright at the moment, just to see how that works, because I need something. I think actually for the first time in ages, at the start of that second half, Arsenal were actually playing it around fairly well. I was like, we got a goal in us for the first time in ages. And then Granit Xhaka seemed to get so angry at Kieran Westford after Xhaka fouled him, which I don't really understand. Like, it's such a strange moment from Xhaka, because it's just completely... Clearly, it's frustration boiling over that's got nothing to do with what's actually kind of gone on in that incident. There is such a massive overreaction.
It's a very unhappy club, it seems.
That's exactly right. It seems to be a very, very unhappy club. That's a really good way of putting it. Apparently, some of the stuff that's come out today has said that some of the players were really frustrated with the way that Mikel Arteta said that Nicolas Pepe's sending off was unacceptable. That's the word he used. And I just think they've got to get over themselves if that's the case, because it clearly was unacceptable. It was a ridiculous headbutt at a stupid time. It was really, really costly. This is worse than that. Arteta said it's worse than that. And it's like, I mean, it seems to be that his attempts to instill some discipline in that dressing room have caused rifts within it. And I mean, they won the FA Cup in the summer. You should listen to Arteta in this situation. And you have to wonder, is it that Arteta is not doing a very good job, or is it that the problems in that dressing room are so ingrained that he can't reach those players? Possibly it's a little bit of both. But, I mean, it's tempting to look at Arteta and think, are you just a hirsute fraud? Is that what it's come to? But apparently his job isn't in danger anytime soon.
I think it'd be a bit silly to sack him, wouldn't it?
But say if this goes on for like another three or four games, you've got to start asking that question, haven't you? Because that's how modern football goes.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. Because we got Southampton at home on Wednesday. I'm in on Thursday. Let's see how that goes. Can't imagine how that will turn out. It just seems that everything that could possibly be dysfunctioning is dysfunctioning, and
dysfunctioning.
I feel so grateful actually that this is the COVID season and it doesn't really count, and we'll be stricken from the record, and no one will ever think about it again.
Same with the FA Cup last season.
No, that was last season, Marcus.
Okay, organisation, discipline, and reopect, or respect, I think they meant to write in the Arsenal programme.
Oh, my God.
For other people are very, very important. I grew up like this, and I will pass it on to my little one. That is Granit Xhaka, who was, of course, saying that in the matchday programme.
He once made a big deal in the matchday programme about how, even though he's the youngest, if him and his brother were at home or going somewhere or whatever, he'd get the house keys. So
right,
he's a fan of a weird motivational
flex,
quote, Xhaka.
But I do feel a little bit sorry for Xhaka, because I know that business when he lifted his hands up and the crowd were booing him, and so
I was there, and that was awful.
Yeah, and I do feel a little bit sorry for him. I know we can sort of have a bit of a laugh and so on, but clearly this is a guy who sort of cares. And yes, I know his emotions, and we can say he should be professional and so on, but crying out loud, we've all played sport, we've all been pissed off and so on. And it was a really, really daft sending off. But, I mean, Patrice Evra didn't need to sort of, start airing Thierry Henry's
little secrets. Yeah.
That's what Evra's there for, though, isn't he? Evra's pretty box office with that sort of stuff, because you don't know what's coming next.
I know, when he said that he once watched Arsenal with Thierry Henry, for those who didn't see this, and Thierry Henry, they sat down to watch, obviously, Henry's beloved Arsenal, and as soon as he saw Xhaka was captain, Henry turned off the television, was like, well, I'm not watching that. I think that's a little bit hard to believe.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Granit Xhaka, though, I think that he is... By the sounds of it, he could be Roy Keane's type of player.
What?
Because if you think about Roy Keane, it wasn't that long ago when Roy Keane... Well, it was against Arsenal, I think it was the game against Arsenal Manchester United, when he was like, get in somebody's face, smash somebody. Yeah. Well, that's what Granit Xhaka's all about.
He did do that.
That's what the modern Smasher gets, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah, cards maybe. And stuff.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. That's the problem.
Aside from that moment, though, I think it's easy to blame Xhaka for everything. He's been such a lightning rod, and it's kind of unfair in a lot of senses. Obviously, you know, he's hugely at fault here, but Arsenal's play was just really, really poor. Aubameyang getting an own goal is just so, so clownish. And the thing I was hoping for when Arteta came in was that he would be the person to stop Arsenal embarrassing themselves.
Yeah.
And clearly that's, you know, I think that's gone already.
In the pantheon of Arsenal embarrassment, is this really as embarrassing as it possibly could be? They're not having a great time. It's a strange season for everyone. They've been asked to take a pay cut that didn't really go to the club and the people around them and stuff. I think there's a lot wrong with Arsenal, and none of it is how they're setting up on the field, I think.
It's so poor, Pete. The football's so poor.
But you're saying at a boardroom level.
It is, but I think it goes bigger than that. And I think,
like at Manchester United, they're probably similar.
And I think, obviously, Arteta wanted the extended deal for certain players, and he wanted players like Willian to play and stuff. So it's kind of, and he's not taking people like Lacazette off the field when they're not playing that well. And it doesn't seem to be quite a meritocracy. He's just trying to get a tune out of these well-paid and celebrated footballers who played well in the past, and he's just not getting it. But I think as any manager who is in their first or second job, they trust that these players will turn in a performance that will save their job. You don't want to get fired from a job putting like bends in all the time, do you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he has much of a choice now, because some of those players have been playing very well in the Europa League, which is obviously it's a much lower level. But Eddie Nketiah and Reece Nelson in particular should certainly be considered. Probably Joe Willock as well. But I just think, you know, if you missed the game last night for whatever reason, and you look at the scoreline, and it's Arsenal 0, Xhaka red card, Burnley 1, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang own goal. You go lol.
Yeah.
That, it's just like stuff like that over and over and over again. Pepe sending off is ridiculous as well. Elneny was lucky to not be further punished for a push in.
Oh yeah,
was it Kieran Westwood again? I kind of blocked it from my mind, but
Well, I mean, it's interesting. Robin van Persie's he had an interview last week, and he said about Arsenal. He said, "I didn't feel like we were on the level to compete. One day the chairman of Arsenal showed me how healthy the club was by showing me their positive numbers. I told them, I don't give a shit about the numbers. I want to lift the Premier League trophy." And that, Peter, perhaps taps into what you're saying about the boardroom level, is Arsenal have often been accused of, as long as we're making good money, as long as we're sort of ticking over. I told you they'd regret getting rid of Wenger.
Yeah.
Mikel, have you seen
the advert? No, bang out. I should correct myself. I said Kieran Westwood. I mean Ashley Westwood.
You meant Tim Westwood.
I did.
But it was a great win for Burnley.
It was
a great
win for Burnley.
They bloody needed it, you see.
They really did.
They did need it. I mean, Burnley should have been a goal up with Chris Wood, where he had that header close range, which you'd have been a bit disappointed to miss. But a good performance nonetheless. And when it's a bit crazy and you can see a club as big as Arsenal are not having a good time, you know, for a smaller club to turn up, sometimes you can be almost like caught in the headlights a bit. You can kind of think, oh, hang on, what's going on? This is a bit strange. And you can be, whereas actually they stuck to their task and they came away with a very, very important win, because Burnley have not had it good this season.
No.
I mean, we've seen Burnley do this before when they start slow and you think, well, they'll be okay. But this season, I mean, they could be finishing fourth or 19th for crying out loud. You know, it's a strange one, but a huge win for them, especially because Fulham got a point off the champions, gentlemen.
And they played very well doing it didn't they?
That they did.
They were pretty unlucky.
Indeed, yeah. But news has just come in, sadly, that Gerard Houllier, ex-Liverpool, we're just about to talk about them, has passed away at the age of 73.
Oh, no.
Which is very sad, indeed.
That is sad.
A man who redefined French football at times as well.
Well, he had a huge imprint on France and their production line and so on. Yeah, absolutely. But, of course, won the UEFA Cup, the FA Cup and the League Cup with Liverpool in 2000, 2001. Yeah, it's very sad news, Gerard Houllier.
Awful.
Indeed, yeah. But back to the Premier League, though. Obviously, the game ended 1-1. I mean, when Fulham, the fixture list, obviously they struggled at the start, and then they were beaten by Everton, and then they were away to Leicester, away to Manchester City, and then Liverpool at home, and you thought, well, nil pois there.
Yeah.
To get 4 points from those three games was something that I don't think many people saw. I mean, the Leicester game was quite remarkable, but this was even more remarkable, I would say, because, well, obviously Liverpool are the bleeding champions, for crying out loud, and especially when Spurs drew with Palace, you'd think to yourself, I'll give you a little bit of extra impetus. But Fulham were not just... Against Leicester, they were very much, you know, just sit off Leicester. Because Leicester obviously like to counter-attack teams, and they do very, very well indeed. Mm. But Fulham went for Liverpool, didn't they, Jim? In the early stages. I mean, Fulham should have been ahead before they actually did score.
Yeah, they should have been. And they were unlucky to not have a penalty as well, I think.
I actually didn't think that was a penalty.
I think you concentrate on the feet too much, and then you actually notice that there's actually been no contact. So I just presumed he'd been knocked over by Fabinho, wasn't it? Yeah. His bum bum or his hip hip. But there was no contact on that side. He just whiffed the ball. He was off balance. Yeah. His standing foot was coming in a diagonal, and he just absolutely whiffed it. But I could see why they spent a long time just to miss it completely. You know, you whiff a ball in baseball.
Is that where it comes from?
Yeah,
baseball.
Whiff it. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Whiff it.
You can also shag balls in baseball.
Is that right?
Apparently so.
Shag balls anyway, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. If the valve is... Come on, Jim.
Oh, Marcus.
Anyway, Decord over Reed absolutely shagged that, didn't he? What a shag.
What a shag. Top shagger.
It was such a good shag. Even Hugh Grant was applauding that one. Indeed, yeah. I mean, Alisson was keeping Liverpool in it.
Yeah,
it was.
You know, that's what happens when you go to Craven Cottage, of course.
Is this just like Parker just finally get? Is this his pre-season effectively? It's the first few matches, because Parker looked genuinely shell shocked. He couldn't understand why his team were not firing. He could not understand it. And Fulham, to their credit, stuck
all of that
shagged with him. Yeah. and now they're starting to put some performances together. I just amazing, really.
Do you know one of the big tactical...
Kind of fool of me.
Well, this is how strange football tactics could be. One of the big things that has got them a little bit of joy is taking out the side their best player, Mitrovic.
Right. Mm.
That's, you know, I mean, it seems ridiculous now. Mm. Obviously, he had that international break. You know, he's probably licking his wounds after missing the penalty, of course, which cost Serbia.
Let's make it very clear. If Fulham had got the penalty, they wouldn't have scored it, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. Cavalera, the way he struck that one against Leicester, come on.
Yeah. That was an anomaly.
They're back on the wagon. But with Mitrovic, you know, it's interesting because he has been one of, if not Fulham's best player in the last sort of two or three seasons, especially at the championship level. He is phenomenal, you know, top scorer and all that business. But the problem for Fulham is the way that teams have been picking them apart. What Parker's tried to do is he's had a big old tinker with the formation. You know, at times he's actually quite fluid, sometimes sort of like a 3-5-2 at times, you know. And with Lookman and Cavallero, who are not front players, they're wide players, very much sort of wingers, or Lookman sometimes sort of played centrally a little bit, but, you know, long gone are the days of 4-4-2 when you say he's a left midfielder. You're almost like back to the sort of 1930s football. He's like an inside forward and all these kind of positions. Yeah. But they don't play with your a little bit more of a traditional forward, which of course was Mitrovic in these last few games. And that gives them more pace up front.
Yeah.
With Lookman and Cavallero, you know, got great pace. And the way they play to try and catch teams on the counter, because Fulham need defence, they need numbers in defence, as we saw early in the season.
You can't really do that with Mitrovic, can you?
And it's
he
a great shame for him.
He forces you to play a certain way.
Yeah. Well, and also sometimes you can become reliant. You just toss balls into the box and so on.
And that, you're not getting the best out of the other.
Shagging balls, you're tossing balls, Jim. I mean, it just... But, yeah, it gets very messy.
But Anderson has started to put in performances at the back. Is it just because Fulham are kind of under siege and they need to pick up results, so they go for teams a bit more, or are they just a bit more sensible about how they...
Well, I think he's worked on the back line, definitely. Right. But I think Areola in goal has been decent for him. He made some saves there as well.
Yeah.
But it'd be surprising for Liverpool, and I suppose there'll be a touch disappointed because obviously Spurs had dropped points. And Klopp, I mean, he did warn them at the start. He said about Fulham, they're really good. They're a good-looking football team, like the manager. He looks good. I don't know him well.
Very flirty Klopp.
He's maybe a shag as well.
Could that be what's happened here? That Scott Parker has just got Klopp all so hot and flustered. Yeah, and he's just not done his team talk properly. They're underprepared. They don't really know what they're meant to be doing.
He clearly doesn't know what his accent sounds like. Yeah. Oh, he's so sexy. If you see Scott Parker, you go, what a spunk. And then you hear him talk, you go, yeah.
I don't know, I like the way he speaks.
I think people might quite like that.
He's got a proper sort of like 1960s World Cup winning West Ham vibe to him. I like the way he speaks. Yeah, we gave a good account of ourselves. Yeah. Like just things like that. Yeah. Reminds me of a lot of people I grew up with.
We was.
Yeah. It's like, it reminds me of two brothers I know who are
Ronnie
from,
and Reggie
from East, they're from East Ham. They're from East Ham.
And they came here for a shootout.
They came here for a shootout, and I've only ever heard them refer to their own dad as Wild Kev. And that is the sort of thing I want.
Good old Wild
and
Kev.
Scott Parker makes me think of that.
Minamino, when he came on, yes. He came on for... every time I see him, he's not had a great time of it. Liverpool fans get in touch. Has he been all right? Because he just always seems a bit... off the pace.
You're concerned for one of your own, essentially.
I'm concerned.
Yeah. it's hard to break into a team like that with minimal playing time, isn't it, when it's so established? But I know what you mean. I'd like to see more of him.
I thought he was going to slide in quite early. He just looks a little... but it's that kind of like thing.
But it was
getting used to the league.
Well, when you're in the cauldron, that is, the fortress that is Craven Cottage.
Why
fortress with a wall missing.
That is going to be reinforced, I tell you what.
I know they're doing social distancing stuff, but why are they not? So you've got the neutral end, the famed neutral end full, but then
it's not the only stadium in the world, by the way. San Siro's got a massive, in fact, two of the stands that run along the pitch. I mean, it's good enough for the San Siro. Carry on, Peter.
But it's more of a picnic area at Fulham, isn't it? It's different.
Isn't that neutral end? The away fans do sit in the neutral.
They're loving the social distance because they bring the hampers, can't they?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're lobster beasts.
Naturally, socially distanced,
why have they got the away end completely empty? Why can't they inhabit that as well and put a few more people in?
Oh, well, I think with what they... Yeah, I know what you mean.
Sometimes the neutral end's full and then there's no fans in the away end.
Well, the away end is in the neutral end.
That section completely empty.
I don't know, because some stadiums you look at it and the fans are sort of more kind of in a particular stand, whereas some it's sort of scattered around.
But with Liverpool, I do think that Klopp, because he made such a big deal about his teams being exhausted, he's put in Salah in a Champions League match that didn't mean anything. I think he played 90 minutes in that match, and they've got a big game on Thursday. Wednesday is it against Spurs? He needs to be a bit more careful. You can fortify your narrative and your argument that your team's exhausted, but you don't have to exhaust them yourself.
Do you think
it's
that
ridiculous.
Would go down well in an interview? But Jürgen, you're not doing yourself any favours, you know?
Yeah, well, Jota and Matip, they're both out injured, aren't they?
Yeah. So, Jota could be for a couple of months.
Well, that would be
February, March, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Jordan Henderson, when he was asked about the schedule, he said, "I don't want to stand here and make excuses." Yeah. One more Klopp quote was quite interesting when he was a bit angry with his team's performance, especially early on in the game when Fulham, were straight out of the traps. He said, "I cannot write a book, throw it on the pitch and tell them to read it." I quite like
that. Yeah, that's great.
That'll slow it down a little bit.
How big is the book, Jürgen?
Yeah.
But a good point for Fulham, especially because Burnley won, of course. Fulham are in the relegation zone now.
Yeah.
Oddly, they've been out of it for quite a bit. I was like, I got used to seeing them on 17th, and I thought, that'll do. Just hold the fort, lads.
Are you more confident, though? Because they look like they look less likely to go down now than they did earlier on.
They did. I mean, there's still a lot to play, and they still, haven't got many points, for crying out loud. But one person that I would like to put a spotlight on right now. One person who said Fulham have got the players to get them out of it, wasn't so negative, and was quite positive about them, was the young Pete Donaldson over there. He said, there was a lot of doom and gloom around Fulham and so on, but Pete said, they've got players to get them out of it. They need to stick together. They need to sort out the defence. They need to score goals. They need to win matches and points, and then they'll be okay.
Read that book. I say.
Well, Scott Parker clearly has, and it's coming to fruition. So there we are. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to have a little break, and then after which we're going to talk about more Premier League things. See you in a moment.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week on Stakhanov.
Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy releases a brand new episode exploring the hot topic of head injuries in football. As well as exploring the sport's link with dementia with neuropathologist Dr. Willie Stewart, Melissa spoke to ex-Tottenham star Ryan Mason, who was forced to retire after a devastating head injury aged 26.
I couldn't look at light. I was sleeping for like 20 hours a day. I couldn't really hold a conversation. Like I say, when the brain gets an injury, the body almost just instinctively responds, and it almost just shuts everything else down.
Meanwhile, self-care club Wellness Road Tested have launched a brand new epilogue show. Join Lauren and Nicole every Friday, where they'll be hearing about your experiences, talking to the experts, and reading the very best wellness literature in the self-care book club.
I think it's a totally life-changing book for sisterhood and womankind. It's revolutionary in how to adopt self-love and live for who you are.
Search Between the Lines and Self Care Club on your favourite podcast player.
All that and more at Stakhanov.
De Bruyne, De Gea, De Arby.
Welcome back to De Football Ramble, everybody.
To see it.
Right, a quick Betway 4 to score update. Let's see how we got on this weekend, or last weekend, as it is now known. Entry to Betway's 4 to score is free each week. Pick the first goal, score it in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game 1 was Crystal Palace versus Tottenham Hotspur, of course, on Sunday. I picked Harry Kane. I got it right. Who would have thought Harry Kane?
Stab in the dark speller over there.
Yeah. Mystic Meg.
I think that's the first one I've got all season, which doesn't take the pressure off me, because it's a team game, this. Mm. If one person gets it wrong, then we're all out. I wasn't that person this week. Game 2 was Fulham versus Liverpool. Vish stupidly picked Sadio Mane. Of course, it was Bobby Decordova-Reed. Game 3 was Arsenal versus Burnley. Jules picked Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, despite him technically scoring the first goal. It was an own goal. Of course, that doesn't count, so we got that one wrong. And game 4 was Leicester versus Brighton. Luke picked Jamie Vardy. It was, of course, James Maddison. Vardy did score, but it wasn't the opener. So there we are, 1 out of 4. So ultimately, we fail. We'll be back with another round of Betway's 4 to score on the preview show this Friday. All right, let me press this button.
Just email the show at footballramble.com right now. So Peter, Vish, or Kate, or Jules, or Jim, or Andy, Luke, all my kids can read it out. Well done.
Hello. So, Jack...
Hello.
Hi. Jack Beresford has been in touch, and he says...
Oh, when I glanced at that, I thought it said John Beresford.
I know.
Now you're talking.
Stole a limo once.
Did he?
I believe, yeah. With, I want to say Rob Lee.
Okay.
I think, yeah. Mm.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Any other crimes they commit?
Yeah.
Anyway, but back to Jack, Jim.
However you get your kicks.
Oh, it was Warren Barton. Ignore me. It was Rob Lee and Warren Barton. Sorry, everyone.
Oh!
I apologise to John Beresford. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Apologise to Jack Beresford as well, because you've interrupted his email.
Hello.
Hi, guys. A few years back, me and a mate got an invite to a special football event that was broadcast on Facebook and sponsored by a major pizza takeaway brand. I love that attention to detail. The guests of honour were Ray Parler, Tony Bellew and impressionist Darren Farley. Free beer and pizza all day, plus all the live games broadcast on massive TVs around the place. It was heaven. Mm. Anyway, as part of the broadcast, Bellew and Parler did a few TV interviews and promos. At one point, Bellew was stood right next to us doing a piece to camera. While he was talking, I noticed someone holding up cue cards behind the cameraman. He was dressed in a suit jacket, t-shirt and jeans, like he was off clubbing or something like that. Far too smart to be a runner behind the scenes. Suddenly, out of nowhere, it dawned on me, it was Everton legend Tony Hibbert.
Ah, oh, Hibbo.
Now, Tony wasn't billed as a guest that day. He wasn't on any guest list we saw. After the filming finished, we sidled up to Tony to ask him why he was there. His response, he just fancied it. He then proceeded to stand next to us, watching the game, sipping a beer for the next 2 hours without saying a word. In truth, we didn't have much to say to him either. What do you say to Tony Hibbert? To this day, we have no idea how he got there, who he knew, or why he was holding up the cue cards. Was he forging a career in the world of TV? A career that saw him start on the very bottom rung of the ladder? I have no idea.
That's lovely.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
What an amazing spot.
Yeah. Coming to a television studio near you, Tony
I'm not
Hibbert.
Surprised by that. Tony Hibbert, just he's always been a team player, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the ultimate sort of team players.
Yeah. Well, it's all going off, isn't it? I mean,
we got a message from Ben Bennett. In light of Pete's condemnation of parents having some fun with this when naming their children, I attempted to make a team with names like mine.
Hang on, this is Ben Bennett.
Ben Bennett. I couldn't find 11, so I had to go with 5, which included me playing up front. 10 goals last season in the Hong Kong Amateur 4th Division is indeed the depths we have to stoop to find.
I'm impressed.
We are a hardy bunch and we won't stand for such mockery. Number one, Ronald Ronarsson. Arsenal and Iceland. John Johnson, Borough and Northampton. Mm-hmm. Joey Jones, kind of works. Liverpool and Chelsea. Rob Robinson, which is very enjoyable, into Miami. And Ben Bennett for Honey Badgers FC.
Honey Badgers. Yeah.
Love that.
I think you're forgetting about Neville Neville. Yeah. Oh, well.
There you go.
Mm.
I love it. Excuse me if I've missed any obvious ones.
Can you think of any?
No, I can't. Oh, not off the top of my head.
No. All I've got is Gary Lineker's dad. It's stuck in my head. Barry Lineker. Doesn't make any sense. Whenever anything near me comes up, I think about Barry Lineker.
Barry Lineker. That's great.
Jemba.
Not quite.
Yeah.
Well,
Jemba.
Oh, he's got Joey Jones in there.
JJ Okocha.
Yeah, there you go. Good enough.
Good enough, everybody.
Right, before we go any further, I'd like to tell you about a brand new episode of Ramble Meets, which is now over on Football Ramble Presents. Andy Brassel sat down with Denmark legend and former Milan Feyenoord and Newcastle United striker John Dahl Thomason.
Nice.
Big John Dahl opens up on his storied career that took him all over Europe, and now he's head coach at Malmö in southern Sweden. He also reflects on learning under the likes of Trapattoni and Ancelotti.
What was it like playing with Ian Rush? Primo Juventus era.
Absolutely.
Ian Rush.
He's a lovely old chat, so head over to Football Ramble Presents to catch it. And don't forget to have a little tickle on that subscribe button. You won't regret it, you beauties. Right, let's go and talk about a team from Liverpool that did win on the weekend. It was Everton, of course. They beat Chelsea 1-0. Carlo Ancelotti doing his old team, and he must have loved it. And that's reflected in what he said. We only had 2,000 fans, but it made me happy. And I hope the stadium will be full as soon as
fool.
Will be full
fool.
As soon as possible.
Fucking full.
He's really getting with the local lingo,
fucking
isn't he?
Rocking.
They end Chelsea's 17 game unbeaten run, of course. So it's no mean feat to beat old Chelsea this season, of course. And Chelsea, I mean, in one sense, would be slightly relieved that Spurs and Liverpool got surprising draws, but they'd be a little bit disappointed. But I mean, Everton are a decent side, Jim. We can't forget that. And, you know, it was only 1-0, and they have been 17 games unbeaten. They've had a good run.
Yeah, they have had a good run. And perhaps, I mean, if a lot of the teams that are playing in Europe are struggling at this time, aren't they? Which it makes sense coming towards the end of the group game. So there's a lot of games in those legs, and perhaps that's part of the sort of the margin that's helped Everton get one over on Chelsea here. But they, it's been interesting to see Frank Lampard talking about the sort of expectations that are on Chelsea. Mm-hmm. I think Jurgen Klopp suggested that they might have the best squad in the league and that they might be considered favourites.
Yeah,
which is very clever. And Lampard was talking about how actually, you know, that's a little bit wider the mark because of how many young players they've got and how there aren't that many title winners in it. And you do think of Chelsea as a team packed with experience, don't you? But I think almost in my head, like Lampard and Terry are still playing there, and like the ghost of Mourinho is knocking about, sort of inhabiting it. And
well, because it was for so long,
exactly. You know? Yeah, because Chelsea they've definitely fostered a sort of air of invincibility at times, and it's only I think Kante, Alonso, Azpilicueta, maybe one or two others that wouldn't have necessarily featured that heavily in the last title-winning Chelsea side are there. And obviously you've got Thiago Silva and Hakim Ziyech who've won league titles elsewhere. But it is a young and inexperienced team. And obviously they spent a lot of money, but that doesn't necessarily immediately mean that you're going to go on and be a title-winning side. So I think they are a little bit young and naive sometimes. And I think perhaps, you know, if you're coming up against a wily old dog like Carlo Ancelotto, then you are perhaps going to get done in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's when in reference to when Klopp said, you know, oh, they've got the best squad in the league or something like that. I mean, it is the classic kind of, well, they've got more money than us, sort of. Yeah. That's really
twinkle in his teeth.
Yeah, which is a bit of a futile sort of argument these days for one Premier League giant saying to them, you spent more money than us. You know, I mean, come on. But speaking of signings and whatnot, according to some reports, Everton are set to make a January loan move offer for Dele Alli.
Oh, interesting.
Which would be interesting. I mean, obviously, to bolster the squad and attacking options, I mean, I don't know where we would play on that front line, you know, because Hammers, Rodriguez, you know, I think there'd be room
might
for
even
it.
Rotate them.
I mean, yeah,
it's
true
a
enough.
Weird season where everyone's in the red zone for the whole of it. So.
Yeah, and that also, is true.
Iwobi's playing very. I mean, I think he's so versatile. He obviously played in Rodriguez's space at the weekend. I thought he was really, really good.
Well, and Sigurdsson as well, who maybe you know that. I mean, that penalty he took. You know, I always felt when someone takes a penalty like that, you think, oh, that's a bit ballsy. But then he's probably just waiting for the goalkeeper to move and doing that thing. Like there was a clip recently of Eden Hazard, you know, when he was just looking at the keeper. I think Lauren did that once in a North London derby. For Arsenal, that sort of technique where actually you just don't look at the ball and you look straight at the goalkeeper. Which if I did that, I would just swing my foot and miss the
Lauren. My kidneys for a Lauren.
Oh, what a player he was. Petr Cech has been reportedly playing for Chelsea's development side.
In for it.
Or he's playing tonight.
I'm in for it.
So busy.
Well, he is.
Ice hockey goalkeeper, drummer.
The lot.
Executive.
Yeah, I thought he'd retired from one of these disciplines, but clearly he's coming back in. He hasn't played competitively since retiring after the Europa League final in May 2019, where his Arsenal team got spanked by Chelsea. But he has been training with the senior squad for several months, as we know, because he was registered as an emergency cover in the club's Premier League squad list in October. He's had a bit of a rant. On his Instagram page, with a screenshot of Fabianski's save from the game on Friday between Leeds and West Ham when Fabianski saved the penalty. Mm. Then it was, of course, retaken and it was scored when Fabianski's boot was millimetres off the line.
I mean, it's either off or it isn't. And Marcus.
Yeah,
I know. I've long since said that we need to crack down on this nonsense.
I have
very
not,
binary.
I've not given an opinion. I just said it was millimetres off the line. Yeah. Okay, you interpret the tone as you wish. But Petr Cech said messaged on Instagram, how is any goalkeeper supposed to cover an area of 7 metres, 32 centimetres by 2 metres, 44 centimetres without any foot movement while the player shoots from 12 yards with an average speed of 70 miles an hour, which takes the ball 0.35 seconds to cross the goal line, is beyond my understanding. Can the referee just make a second line 4 feet from the goal line using the spray and the penalty has to be saved in between?
Well, you just stand at the edge of that, though, don't you? It's just the correct move in the line forward.
I would say that he's got a particular agency. He's got a particular kind of... 20 years playing as a goalkeeper.
Yeah, a little
plus.
Bit of a bias.
It's the old goalkeeper's union that is coming out there. Should they be able to just move within the goalkeeper's small box, Jim, as Brent said?
Yeah, they should. Well, there are boxes within boxes, and Spurs boxes are special boxes, Jose Mourinho once said as well.
Yeah, I get a bit confused, to be honest with you. But there we are. So, yes, good win for Everton against Chelsea. It was, you know, big for Everton, because obviously they, after their good start, obviously they beat Fulham, but they've sort of coughed and splattered a little bit, but a result like that is very, very welcome indeed for them. Clean sheet and beat the mighty Chelsea. Crystal Palace and Spurs drew 1-1.
Guaita had a very interesting game, didn't he?
Didn't he, Josh?
He made some of the most outstanding saves of the weekend, and then the error was a very, very...
It was a hell of a shag from Kane, though.
Do you know what? I think shag is to retrieve a ball.
Right, I think that's
what it was. Americans get in touch. Mm. I don't think they use that word anymore.
In which case, Guaita had to shag it then, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, did you see his interview after the game? Where it was put to him that perhaps he sort of could have done a bit better on it, and he was like, well, you know, it moved. It's really hard. Like, in another game, I'd have saved that.
You got the other ones that moved.
Just completely not embarrassed by it, not bothered by it. But
that's goalkeeper psychology, I think.
Yeah, no, but he executed that fantastically. He didn't look like it had knocked his confidence in any way whatsoever.
Don't let there be a conversation about it. No, don't worry about that. Moved on. Sod you. Well, some goalkeepers do that, though, don't they? They if a goal goes in... Not all goalkeepers, but some goalkeepers will almost psychologically shout at the defence, or they'll have a go at something because for them, if they were obviously different personality types and so on, but if they think that was my fault, it hits their confidence and they're rocked. I mean, Peter Schmeichel and Roy Keane came to blows over this, funnily enough, because Schmeichel used to bawl at the defence. Absolutely. Used to, you know, give them the old Ferguson hairdryer treatment. Yeah. And Keaton took umbrage with this and said, this is nonsense. You're doing this for the whole theatre of... You're doing this in front of the fans to kind of ham it up a bit. And and they literally had a fight over it.
Of course they did.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But Guaita, going back to him, the pick of the bunch for me was that Eric Dier free kick. Mm. When Dier hits that, I thought, oh, it's a beauty.
So late on as well. It really felt like Spurs were going to get a winner, didn't it? Just because they were really turning the screw.
But this is the thing with Spurs, and this would be my concern for them. It is games like this when I understand you've got to, that, you know, there's many ways to win a football match, and, you know, sitting on a 1-0 lead is you know, it that will help them sometimes. And you know,
it's got a lot of goals in the second half all the season, though.
But it's one of those ones, Pete, that if they see that out, I mean, people maybe say that Lloris was slightly at fault and Mourinho came out to back him and said, I think he's the best goalkeeper in the league. But if they see that 1-0 out, you know, one could say, oh, a good professional job, they got the lead, they sat on it. But when they're playing against Palace, you know, they really did sit off. And the problem with that is if Palace do get an equaliser, and as we've seen this season, that sort of thing can happen.
And they've got so much energy as well.
Yeah.
You really are inviting an equaliser. It's not like whoever you play against. But yeah, I don't know.
And then you've got to quickly change attack, haven't you?
I think they just dropped off in intensity a little bit. And I think it's the same thing that we were talking about with Chelsea and with Liverpool and all of the sides that have been playing in Europe, that they are just getting a little bit leggy in the second half. And I think you can try and sort of like tactically account for that, but... Sometimes you're playing against a team who are just fresher than you. Well, you've got players like Zahar and Zaha in there.
Well, exactly. So Eze distracts everyone for Zaha and vice versa, and you don't really know who to track.
Yeah, well, it's interesting what Hodgson's been doing with Zaha. It's almost a bit like what we were talking about with Fulham, whether they play their front line. Zaha's almost like, you know, the striker now. He's not just farmed out on the wing, and he's proved very, very effective there this season so far. I wonder, though, going back to the goal, the Spurs goal with Kane hitting that one. I mean, I did agree with Graham Souness, actually. You know, the keeper can see it from a long way. He's not unsighted. I know it swerves, but he'd be disappointed with himself there. But did he see Sun pass to Kane and Kane line up and go, well, this is a goal? There's the goal. I mean, there's no point in me even trying to do anything here, for crying out loud.
The inevitability of it. It's like Bellerin taking a throw in.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, though, when Kane whacks it in, you don't think of someone assisting that goal because it's a bit of a long ranger and it's a bit fortunate.
Yeah.
And then you think, who got the foot? Oh, obviously, it was Sun that slipped it to him. You know, get them in your fantasy teams, everybody. But yeah, Spurs, they're still there. And obviously, Fulham did them a huge favour, which means Spurs will sign probably two of their best players in the summer.
I almost feel like Palace in particular, and Liverpool actually, don't understand what's riding on this for me. And they didn't really work hard enough, if you ask me. I feel like Alex Ferguson has got to address the League Managers Association. Let's get them all in there as well, all the way down the pyramid, and just say, lads, it's Tottenham, and then just leave.
Yeah, that's it. Well, there we are. Let's go a little bit further down the table. Pete Donaldson to Newcastle United. They won again. They beat poor old West Brom.
They did, two in a row, I believe.
At the time of recording, Bilic is still in the job, because there was talk of him, if West Brom lost that game, that he would lose his job. So we haven't heard anything there, so that's we're only going on what we know. But of course, it was the Dwight Gale derby, and he was the match winner. Lovely header.
Well, he nearly scored a few moments before as well. It was a really, really strong kind of performance off the bench from him. And Bruce rang in the changes after some underwhelming play in the middle 70 minutes of the match, it seemed. Because obviously they scored very, very early. It was a bit of a travesty of situations for the opposing
team. Nice finish from Almiron.
It was.
Yeah. I do like great work from Joelinton as well.
Great pass from Joelinton as well,
I love seeing Almiron's big smile.
Yeah. Oh, he's a joyous player, isn't he? I think, I can't remember who was on Corecoms, but they went, I didn't realise that Almiron was that quick. Because that's pretty much all he's got in his locker, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
But there was a lovely tribute to Martin Lorimer, a Newcastle supporter who posted like a goodbye on Twitter and worried a lot of people last week. Turns out he had indeed lost his life, but very sad with it. So they went big on that before the match. But yeah, I mean, as usual, Newcastle, they won't break teams down.
They just refuse to do it.
They refuse. They still go, we are not getting involved. That's not the way that Premier League is around the season.
That's not what we're about.
But it's a hell of a result because obviously they lost, I think, about five or six players to COVID. Isaac Hayden was particularly badly treated by the virus. And then he turns out a performance like that at centre back. It was really, really good stuff. But look, I think Bruce would do well a setup like this again. You've got something like eight players out of the 14 that played together in the championship. It's depressing, but they know how to play together. Mm-hmm. Augment that team with your ASMs and your Almirons, and you could be safe by February. So yeah, I mean, keep going like that.
Well, you say you're safe by February, Peter. I mean, I'm only looking at the league table here. They've got a game in hand. They've got above Arsenal, above Wolves. Yeah. They've got a game in hand on a few teams. They've got a game in hand on the top seven. If they win that, 3 points off Champions League.
Yeah.
So I'd get them back in there.
At the end of December, they've got Man City, Liverpool and Leicester. So let's...
Well, thing is, though, they sometimes turn up a vault
Fulham got 4 points off a couple, of, you know. In the,
yeah. So. All of those teams are absolutely exhausted as well.
Exactly, yeah.
Let's not forget.
But so. I don't know why like Bilic is so gutted about losing players like Pereira. Like, it's not like he plays those players in their right positions anyway. Mm. He's last season, he was obviously on the right drifting in, and he's kind of put him in the centre of the season. He's just not as effective. So I thought we were going to see a very different performance from West Brom. And I think they were all right for large periods. I thought they tested Newcastle as well as they could. But if you fancy it against West Brom, and I'd say the same about Newcastle, they can become a little bit rudderless. Mind you, West Brom have had their own COVID issues as well.
Yeah, the danger with West Brom as well, and there's often a team like this in the Premier League, where the thing is, and Bilic alludes to this at the end of the match as well, that they are playing well. They're generally playing
to their
well.
Capacity.
And they're not, it's not like they're getting spanked every week, but they're just not picking up those points. So that's a danger zone for Bilic, in terms of whether he'll stay around. Which I feel like sackings are a bit less likely in the mad circumstances that we're in. But I hope for him and them, they can turn it around.
There's a big drop off to Sheffield United with 1 point, isn't it?
Well, they're having an absolute mare, aren't they? They are. Southampton obviously sort of handedly beat them. But as we get to the end of the show, people will think, wasn't there a Manchester derby? There was.
Yeah, we're not talking about it.
It was that bad. We just thought,
no.
The only thing that said it was I would like to see more drab draws like that, stodgy nonsense. Because as long as you have Mika and Roy on commentary, because his Instagram afterwards is always an absolute giggle. Following Roy Keane to his car in the car, I go, "Why won't you talk to me, Roy?
Yeah.
Roy, why won't you talk to
openly
me?"
Openly laughing at him.
Oh, mate, I would love like a Miami Vice or like kind of cop buddy cop drama with those two.
Yeah.
Oh wow,
I'm into that.
Who would be the bad cop?
I think bad Mika, cop, fun cop.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I think Mika Rich is he's the only person I think that can sort of cut through the nonsense with Keane.
Yeah,
because he's got like the personality, the charisma and all, and he kind of and also parts of his football career as well, you can forget what a phenomenal player he was when he was younger and won the league with Man City and so on. People tend to remember the sort of latter Richards, but he had a career for
and he's massive as well, isn't he?
He's a big boy.
It's got to help having that sort of physical presence.
Yeah, but that's not perturbed.
I know
before.
They're not going to come to blows, but surely psychologically it helps.
Try and fight Schmeichel.
I was going to say, I don't think he's too worried about the big boy, but yes, Jim, it is a factor of a number of factors that is needed to take on Roy Keane, perhaps. I mean, I loved I mean, this is the thing with Manchester United. Now, you watch Manchester United because Keane's on the punditry.
Yeah.
You know, but it was so... And Man City fans have got to be worried that if Guardiola goes for a more pragmatic approach now, changing it about... Because a very odd performance from them.
Yeah.
But Keane, after the game, you know, we got two bookings and a derby. Yes, right! Talking my language.
Speaking of which, we are now coming to that time of year where you've got to keep an eye on players trying to get their fifth bookings to get Christmas
off. Oh, we are.
And this year, more than ever, when they're all knackered, we might have players Christmas that can't even field 11 players. Like this might be a vintage year for that.
Well, but that's even more frustrating for King, because he's like, well, why have we only got two bookings then? You've got loads of excuses for that. But he said,
fake COVID results. Come on. They're going to be trying to get it as best they can. He's finding people who've got it, swabbing their nostrils.
Yeah.
Well, he said,
stuffing chilies into their cheeks. Got a temperature.
Oh, dear. King said, I've never seen so many hugs and chats after the game. I'm scratching my head. I'm really frustrated.
Get in their faces.
They're all
smash somebody.
At the end, the staff are smiling and hugging. The players are chatting. Just get down the tunnel. I don't get it. Everyone wants to be pals. The thing is, though, with Roy Keane,
he's about as angry as every dickhead who saw Tom Allen on Sky Sports on the weekend. I got furious about it. More Tom Allen on Sky Sports, please. That was brilliant.
Tom Allen.
Great idea.
General.
And more Harry Maguire and John Stones sort of hugging after the game.
Look, both clubs kept a clean sheet. It's fine.
Do you remember us at the World Cup? That was good, wasn't it? That was good. Nice to see.
I've never seen so many hugs.
No, exactly, yeah. Mm. Get the unicorns out. Come on, get them all on there. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. It's been an absolute pleasure having your company on tomorrow's show. It's Kate, Vish and Luke. It's going to be a terrific Tuesday. Until then, thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
Farewell.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.